Well, hello everyone. I'm back, and doesn't it always seem to go that when I go away for a week, something enormous happens? And the big thing that has happened is that Restore Britain has launched as an actual party here in Great Britain, and a lot of people have been waiting for my take. Now, I have been on social media, and I'm going to read to you what I said on the day that they launched, and then I'm going to go into, I want to have a look at the launch video itself, and then I've got 10 points as to why I think everybody needs to get behind Rupert Lowe and get behind Restore Britain. It's the best shot we've got by a country mile. They're the closest thing we're ever going to get. But let me just read what I said on the day. This was my initial reaction. I said, "It is my sincerest hope in the world that Rupert Lowe smashes Farage and his band of crooked Tories so hard that they won't know what's hit them. The country needs this more than anything. A big part of my backing of Lowe from the start has not been about this or that policy, but as a fundamental character judgment. Sensible, unflappable, decent, determined, little bit of grit, the core of what this country has always been about. I am fed up of charlatan showmen." And I also, I put another tweet up that got a lot of traction on the day. I said, "The vibe of Rupert and Restore isn't so much winning populist bollocks, but a sense of grim duty, a sense of grim duty. Rupert gets it. He knows the shit we're in. He's not selling us a crock of shit for a change. He is actually saying, look, we need to dig in and get this country out of the mess that the rotten political establishment has got us in over the past 20, 30 years. He's done a number of interviews in preparation for this video. I watched them all. I watched the one with Starkey. I watched the one with Dan Wootan. I watched the one with Carl. I'm going to be showing clips from that later. I watched the showdown between Charlie Downs and Alex Phillips. And later in the week, I'm going to be having dedicated videos to some of those showdowns that we've seen. But for now, the bottom line is, you know, before I play my advert, before we get into the weeds, before I give some criticisms or anything else, the bottom line is, this is the shot, okay? We're never going to get a better shot than this. Everybody calls me black-pilled and, you know, negative and so on. The reason for that is because I've always been against populist charlatan parties. I said from the start, Farage is not the one. He's going to sell us out. It's going to be another Boris Johnson, okay? And sometimes it's been thankless to push that message, but over time, it has become the dominant theme. Said it about Trump in America as well, but especially here, Farage is not the one. And if you still think he is the one, you're probably watching the wrong channel, but you should probably strap in, because I'm going to explain all the ways in which Farage is not the one and Lowe is the one, and why pretty much everybody worth their salt is going to get behind him. Before we get going here, and I want to watch the launch video as well. We're going to do all of that. But before we get going, I'll just remind people, pick up courses at the Academic Agency. I have to keep the lights on here as well. Trivium, the bestseller there. I'll play an ad. Foundations of Writing is the first. If you pick up only one course, make it Foundations of Writing. Everybody needs to communicate clearly. So I'll play the ad, and when we get back, we're going to go in-depth on Restore Britain.
Buy Foundations of Writing on the Academic Agency. To write clearly will help you to think clearly. The ability to communicate ideas in lucid prose is foundational to success in many areas, and it is a basic requirement in every walk of life. You will learn the parts of speech and come to understand the core functions of the English language, sentence construction and syntax, punctuation, style, and common mistakes. Once you see how mistakes are made, you will not unsee them. You will know for the rest of your life. Foundations of Writing. Buy it now.
All right, so as promised, first of all, we're going to watch this launch video, and maybe I'll give some analysis on the fly. And then I've got 10 whole reasons here, 10 whole reasons why we need to get behind Rupert and why specifically I am getting behind Rupert. Okay, let's have a watch of this launch video. I'll mute myself here.
I have chosen to speak to you today from the farm because places like this represent what proper Britain is about. Hard work, responsibility, effort, duty, stewardship. This is the England I know, and this is the England that I love. On a farm, you don't think in election cycles or headlines or polling. You think in seasons. You think in generations. In what you leave behind to those who come after you. And that's why, here on the farm, I am now launching Restore Britain as a national political party. I'm now going to dedicate...
I have to say, as an opening minute or so, could it have been more pitch perfect? Could it have been any better in terms of the message, in terms of the sentiment of what he's saying? You know, hits me here. I mean, he's talking in civilizational terms. He's talking in terms of seasonal cycles, not electoral cycles. I mean, this is a work of art. This one of the best political hands I've ever seen.
My life to finding, organizing, funding, and providing hundreds of qualified candidates to present to the British people at the next general election. This process has already started, with invitations being issued to patriots in aligned political parties, Reform, the Conservatives, the SDP, Advance, and more. In local politics, we will work in partnership with localised political parties, such as Great Yarmouth First, that have the best interests of their residents at heart, combining our forces at the next general election. The men and women standing for Restore in that election will not be politicians, I promise you that. They will not be failed ministers. They will not be tainted by failures of the past.
Very important that they are not associated with the 14 years of absolute betrayal that the Tories now represent. Anybody associated with that, Jendrick and, you know, even Jacob Rees-Mogg, all these sorts of people who are associated with the Boris wave, with the 14 years of betrayal, with the botching of Brexit, with the lockdowns, with all of the crap that we had to put up with. That is the reason, don't forget, that we did zero seats, okay? I personally pushed for zero seats. Lots of people came with me. We wanted to destroy the Tory party, only for T1000 to reform, literally reform, in the Reform Party. Do you think we were born yesterday? They're treating us as idiots, okay? We wanted to destroy the Tory party, not just put them back into power with a new lick of paint. And Rupert gets that. He absolutely gets it. And that is why this rule of no failed politicians coming in, which is what Reform have done, you know, bringing in any Tom, Dick and Harry from the, you know, the Tory front benches, it's not going to do. It's absolutely crucial bit of messaging here.
They will be from business, from the military, from science, from medicine, from education, from industry, representing real communities up and down the country.
You know, and this idea should appeal because it goes deep into the history of this country. That is what the stewards of this nation always were, people from all sorts of different backgrounds, you know, using their expertise, coming together. This was like the original conception of what Parliament would be, what the House of Lords would be even. It's a good idea to have non-politicians And, you know, this is one of those, I'm going to do another video later in the week about kind of reform copes and criticisms and so on. This line that, you know, oh, well, the parliamentary experience, or the experience of what? The experience of letting this country down for the past 20 or 30 years. That is not a qualification. That is a disqualification. In any other walk of life, if somebody had failed, like Rupert Lowe used to be a chairman of a football club. If he had a manager that was consistently failing, okay, he'd fire him. And that same manager wouldn't then get another job at some other club. You know, he'd be damaged goods if he failed as badly as our politicians have failed this country. So it's a great policy.
Every single one will be from well outside the existing political establishment, and every single one will understand the difficult decisions that need to be taken. Because there are no easy fixes. I'm not going to tell you comforting lies about the condition of our country. I have only ever...
See, realist messaging, not selling you a pack of lies, not trying to sugarcoat it, giving it to you straight. Actually, for once, giving it to you straight, like a pear cider, etc.
I've never been honest with the British people, and I will be straight with you now. What is necessary will be incredibly painful. But for the first time in a very long time, voters will have a genuine alternative which is truthful with them about the scale of what now has to be done. The first priority is to control who comes to our country, and more importantly, who stays in our country. Restore Britain will not just stop mass immigration, we will reverse it. Every single illegal migrant will be securely detained and then deported. The message will be unrelenting. If you are in this country without our permission, you will be removed. For the foreseeable future, far more people must leave.
See, some enemies will try to say, well, that's extreme. That should be the default position of the government now. That should have always been the position of any sensible, normal government. Why do we put up with people who are here who shouldn't? You know, they've already broken the law. They've already broken the law. Sensible.
Britain, then arrive. If a foreign national is unable to speak English, lives in social housing, claims benefits, refuses to work, fails to integrate, commits crime, or even actively hates our way of life and wishes to do us harm, then they must leave or be made to leave. Restore Britain will make our communities safe again for women and children. That, I promise you. If that means millions go, then millions go. We're constantly told that the economy needs vast swathes of low-skilled migrants. We know that's simply not true. What we need is to get millions of healthy Brits back into work. A radical overhaul of how welfare is delivered. Protecting those in genuine need, but not funding healthy shirkers to live off the back of hard-working men and women. If you can work, you must work. It really is that simple. Restore Britain will be abundantly clear. If you consistently refuse work, then you will lose your benefits. We will punish indolence, and more importantly, we will reward success. We will provide vast economic incentives for men and women to start businesses, generate opportunities, build wealth, and create self-sufficient families. Standing here today on the farm, I know exactly what it means to deal with energy bills, labour shortages, regulation, unproductive paperwork, planning restrictions, tax, and endless uncertainty.
Very clever to do it on the farm, by the way, because the public, the British public, is already primed to think about all these things because they've watched Clarkson's Farm, of course. And it's a direct play to get, like, Clarkson himself, which I hope happens, will happen.
The state has definitively become the enemy of the people. Restore Britain will burn away suffocating taxes on work and enterprise. We will slash unnecessary regulation. We will dismantle bloated quangos and the overbearing HR culture. We must crush parasitic Britain. We will restore long-term, stable, logical policy so that businesses can plan and invest and grow again. But restore...
I mean, what he's talking about is deconstructing the Blairite state. Really, that's what reform should be talking about, but they just never do.
Restore Britain is about much more than numbers on a spreadsheet. It's about who we are as a nation and who we are as a people. Britain is not just an economy. Britain is not just an idea. Britain is not just a passport. Britain is a nation. Britain is a people, our people. And Restore Britain will never allow that to be erased. We will celebrate our Christian heritage and the identity that built and shaped this country. Responsibility, restraint, forgiveness, duty, and fairness.
The actual British values. Everybody talks about British values. Those were the actual British values.
In short, a high trust society. That will mean defending our culture. That will mean resisting the relentless creep of radical Islam. That will mean banning the burqa, outlawing Sharia law, blocking cousin marriages, and reimposing our Christian-based rule of law. A Restore Britain government would legislate to ensure that no halal or kosher slaughter on British soil. This is Britain, and we will do things our way. This political party now exists for one reason: to restore Britain, to make it a better, safer, and more prosperous place for British men and women to raise their families. It will be difficult and it will be painful, but I assure you, it is possible. I hope you will consider joining me on this journey and becoming a member of our party. It is our country, it is now our collective responsibility to act.
Yes, and on collective responsibility, as I tweeted out earlier today, I think people need to roll their sleeves up and get involved with this. They're going to need a lot of people. They're going to need rank and file activists. They're going to need people to help on every local chapter. They're going to need, you know, they're going to need MPs. They're going to need all sorts of people. And they want good people. They want clever people. They want committed people. Sorts of people who watch this channel. So, you know, I've got a few suggestions, which I'll do a separate video on what I think should happen in terms of local chapter organization and so on. But the time to get involved is now, because it's not going to happen. I mean, frankly, when we've said for years, you know, the savior's not coming, guys, right? Caesar's not coming. I mean, basically, it's up to you. It's up to us. It's up to everybody to do what they can. Obviously, everybody needs to be played in their right position, okay? You know, someone like me is not going to be any good on the teas and cakes, for example, but I'll do what I can to help out. And you should be thinking about what your skill set is, where you could possibly help, you know, and up and down the country, people are going to have to give up some of their time and get involved. Now, I promised that I was going to go through 10 reasons why I like this party, why I like Restore Britain, why I'm backing Rupert. And the first one, and I've got clips for each one of these, or at least for the first seven, is that Rupert Lowe is genuinely anti-establishment. Let's have a little look at this. All of these clips are taken from the interview with Carl Benjamin.
They're all one big club. And part of the reason they cut me out is I'm not interested in going to have, you know, drinks with them and getting drunk in the bar late at night and doing all sorts of things that they think are okay. That's not what I want to do. I've got, you know, I like to walk around my farm, look at my crops. I like to talk to people who work for me and work with me. And I've got better things to do than you know, cruise around with a bunch of lightweights. So I think you can see it now. It's just so obvious. And if the people can't see it, then open your eyes, because it's there. But the
this is really important, by the way. You know, I always talk about not being socially driven. Let us contrast that with Nigel Farage, who always wants to be seen with the right people, invited to the right clubs, you know, be seen dancing with Preeti Patel and all the rest of it. He wants to be part of whatever that club is. Nige wants to be part of it. The trouble is that club is rotten. So at the moment, we can't have somebody who's a climber in that way. The thing about Rupert is he's independently wealthy, doesn't give a shit, as you just saw. You know, he's rurally minded as opposed to city minded. And frankly, I mean, this city-rural divide has been going back all the way to William Shakespeare's day. It was even a divide between the city and the rural folk back in that time, different attitude. But it's really somebody like him that has to say, look, I don't really care about your gay club. Well, you knock yourselves out in that gay club. I want to fix this country. I don't want to be seen at the right party. Really important. And it's obvious that reform is part of the establishment. It has been co-opted. The iron law of oligarchy has kicked in already with reform. Now, I've got another video coming later this week where I'm going to talk about some dangers. I'm going to give my signature realist analysis and so on. This one, I just want to be a bit excited, okay? There are some dangers for Restore, of course. There are some, the iron law of oligarchy is always creeping on the corner. I've got some thoughts about how we can, Restore can mitigate some of those threats, okay? But it's ever present. But as things stand, Restore is anti-establishment and Reform is the establishment. It's just the Tory party again. And the worst bit of the Tory party, all the traitors. Literally the last cabinet. You know, they're all they need to do now is sign Boris Johnson. Anyway, let's get back to my points here. Number two, and this is also really important, there is no clownish populism. The tone, it's not triumphalist. It's not so much winning. It's not, hey, guys, it's happening. It's we're in the shit and we need to get out of it. And one of the things that actually brought joy to my heart when I was watching this interview earlier on is that he just came out and said it. Lowe himself said, look, I'm not a clown. That's Farage. If you want a populist clown, he's over there. I'm not going to put on the clown nose. Let's just listen to him.
I don't deliver a speech as well as Nigel because he's good at that. That's his, you know, as I say, he's a good ballroom entertainer. He can stand up on his back two legs. And if you listen to what he says, most of it's the same, but it's just put in a different way. And it's, you know, he's good at it. I don't like all the balloons and the razzmatazz and all the other malarkey.
I feel like I'm in a Butlins.
All the other malarkey that goes with it. Yeah. I don't like all that tacky stuff. But that's what he likes, so that's what he does.
Those were some sick burns, Rupert. Sick burns. And they hit because they're true. He is a ballroom entertainer. And I am sick of it. No more populist clowns. We are sick of it. And I think that my mood is shared by every patriot in this country. Up and down the country, everybody has that sense. We know a fake. We know a phony. We know that Farage is not serious. We've seen how they've treated real patriots. We want our own party, and this is it. Okay, let's have a look at the third point. What was it? Oh, yes, that he's sensible and centred, and there's no nonsense with him. Let's watch another clip.
You see, there's nothing complicated about me. I'm one of four boys, the oldest of four boys. I've lived my life honestly. I've worked all my life. I've built up everything I've got. And I don't want to see the country descend into a sort of Fabian catastrophe where injustices on the scale of the rape gang injustices have been happening. I just don't want to see that. I am what you see.
Yeah, couldn't have said it better myself. And there he is. I mean, he's sensible. He's grounded. He's honest. He's cut from the right sort of cloth, salt of the earth. That's what people in this country like and have always liked. Not a charlatan. I mean, the way I put it is this, right? If I had to go away for the weekend and I needed someone to, like, you know, look after my daughter and I wasn't, you know, my parents weren't available and, you know, no grandparents were around and I couldn't find anyone. Honestly, I would probably trust him to babysit for the day or something like that, right? Whereas I wouldn't trust Nigel Farage with anything like that, or to house to look after my house or something like that. You trust him, and I wouldn't trust Nigel with the same thing because he's a snake, because he's an egotist, he is a narcissist. He's just out for his own glory. He's a sellout. So anyway, let's carry on. Because the fourth point is that Rupa is straight talking. Now, if that was not obvious from the clips already, I do have one for this as well.
Yeah. These people don't care. They get huge pensions, much bigger than the
private
sector.
There's no accountability.
They work less hours. They have less stress. They have more holidays. I honestly, the arrogance that you see from these people and the dishonesty is just off. It's off the scale. Mm.
It's just refreshing to hear a politician speak in such stark, frank, and unapologetic terms. He's also fearless. His stuff with the grooming gangs, which we'll have a look at here.
Eight. Fail its people for 25 years. So consistently, and that's both the it's all the existing political establishment. So they were all there. Whether they knew it was happening or not, I don't know. But the fact is, it has been happening on a grand scale across the country everywhere, despite what Sadiq Khan says it's happening in London as we sit here speaking.
And my next point here is that he's prepared to be unpopular. Now, this is an underrated point. Actually, something that Tony Blair, now I haven't got a clip of this, but it was funny because Rupert lays into Tony Blair and actually likens him to Beelzebub and the devil at one point. He blames him for a lot of things that have gone wrong. But one of the things, of which, of course, if you watch his channel, I agree with. But one of the things Blair talks about is that you have to take a political stance, you have to make some section of the public unhappy, because a political stance by its nature makes some people happy and other people unhappy. So you have to be prepared to be unpopular by taking a stance. Okay, and right, you can have a look at, you know, somebody like Margaret Thatcher. Okay, she won three elections on the bounce. Half the country hated her and still hates her to this day, but she was prepared to take a stance. Okay, and I'm not the biggest Thatcher fan in the world, but this is just a fact of leadership. One of the problems we've had in this country, especially since populism and clownery has taken root, Boris Johnson and Farage and, you know, to some extent, people like Liz Truss as well, is that they want to be everything to everyone. They're afraid of displeasing certain sections or writing off certain sections of the public. They want to be, you know, they want to be everything to all people. That's just bad politics. You have to take a stand. And taking a stand means, okay, turning some people off. You turn some people on and you turn other people off. That's what it means to have opinions. That's what it means to have, that is what politics is. So, yeah, we have to be prepared to say some things that not everybody's going to like. Especially at this late hour. We haven't got time to mess about anymore.
I think people get themselves down a one-way street. I get people going, I don't like your policy on the death penalty. I don't like your policy on this. Well, people aren't going to like every policy.
And then 7 and 8, I've got the same clip for both of these. They've got a very good backroom team. You know, we've got you know, Charlie Downs, or I'm a buddy of mine, Lewis Bracknell. They've got Harrison Pitt there on the policy. You know, there's a good team back there. There's a few other people I don't know as well. I think Connor may be involved, maybe not. Kind of hard to say. But I know at least those first three are part of his team, okay? And they have social media savvy, and they know the score. They've actually grown up watching channels like this. They've got a grounding in a political education that you couldn't have got like 10 years ago, because there weren't channels like this and there weren't channels like Carl and many other people. We've all been on a kind of learning journey. But those guys, they get it. They understand not only the public out there, but they understand the base, they understand the audience, as it were, and that their social media game has actually been knocking the socks off the Reform one. Okay, I mean, Reform, I'll talk about this in a later video. They're like, oh, well, you're extremely online. Listen, it's 2026 now. Every single person's got a mobile phone. Every single person's got a smartphone, computer in their pocket. People are on social media all the time, whether it's YouTube, whether it's Twitter X, whether it's TikTok, whether it's Facebook. People of all ages are on social media. This distinction between online and offline, okay? I mean, you know, I remember 10 years ago, I thought it was funny to meet people that I'd met from the internet and things like that. At this point, in 2026, you know, it's kind of like we're not talking, it's not like AOL 1995 now, granddad. So I really don't understand Reform's stance on this kind of, oh, well, it's very online nonsense. But anyway, let's hear Rupert talking about his backroom team and their social media smarts.
Young team. Yeah. My grandmother had a saying, you know, the young are able, the old are wise. Well, I provide the wisdom, but I've got a great young team who provide the ability because, you know, I've come from the era, Carl, where when I was educated, we had the Gestetner machine, and I'm now running to keep up with all this digital technology and AI and everything else. But we're just about holding our own. But I've got a great team, and their ability and their knowledge of the digital revolution eclipses mine. And without them, I don't think I would be able to do what I'm doing.
And there are two other important points. Point number nine is that he has business acumen and experience, which I do think is important. It shows that, I mean, he has experience running big organizations at a top level, you know, self-made man, as you mentioned. That's kind of experience and skills that you can't teach. It means that he can delegate. It means that he's able to, you know, be that executive. Another problem with Nigel Farage, by the way, he can't delegate. Can't let anything go. He wants to run things as a little dictator. Whereas Rupert, you know, he keeps abreast of the top line, but he's also prepared to, you know, devolve power down, which is good leadership, I think. And finally, underrated point is that he's actually been very good at parliamentary work. He's worked cross-party. He's worked on all different things. He's had a couple of decent victories as a one-man band in Parliament. And that's pretty good. That's pretty good going. And the reality is that you need those kind of people skills, that ability to work with people who don't necessarily agree with you on everything to get stuff done in Parliament. So that's good as well. You'll be able to pass on some of that knowledge to some of the new MPs that come in as well. So there it is. Basically, we have to get behind Reform Britain. Do I agree with every single word? Not necessarily. You know, I've said before, I don't really, you know, I'm not that big on banning the burqa and things like that for various reasons. I've got my own reasons I've articulated in the past. But as you heard him say, it doesn't really matter if you disagree on this one policy or that other policy. It's about, do you trust him? Do you trust the whole package? Do you trust them to be the one, like the real deal, to try to fix this country? And, you know, when we look across the spectrum, you know, this time last week or, you know, 2 weeks ago, I was at the point where I was like, right, there's nothing going on here. I'm going to have to, like, I was considering wild things like, do I vote Green as a kind of protest against Reform? That was where I was 2 weeks ago. So this is a game changer. Let's face it. This is a game changer in British politics. It put something else on the map, something anti-establishment, something else that we can go for. And, you know, as I said before, I think the Green Party, you know, they've got lunatic economic policies. They've got lunatic immigration views, right, on things like that. They're woke, okay? And I think Zach Polanski is a fake. I think Zach Polanski is left containment to keep out Corbyn and Sultana, okay, on foreign policy issues and things like that. That's why I think Polanski's there. But as things were 2 weeks ago, that was probably the best option as a kind of protest against reform. That was the only thing available to me. Now I've got this. Now we've got this. And we have to make a fist of it. We have to. So, and, you know, it seems like a long shot, right? It's a long shot. Will he definitely win? I don't know. I don't know what will happen. But the point is, there's a more than 0% chance. Let's say it's 5%. Let's say it's 10%. Right, in 30 or 40 years' time, right, if the country's lost, let's just say, if the country's completely gone, they say, well, we had a chance to fix it at that point there, 10% roll. Would you take the 10% roll, or would you just sit in your hands and do nothing? We've got to take the 10% roll. We've got to take the chance. And it's a judgment call, basically, between do you trust this Reform Party stuffed to the gills with Tories, frankly, corrupt Tories from the last government, the same government that did the Boris wave, and Farage, who's a snake, who's got a long history of betraying all the people who get close to him, or do we go with Rupert, who seems like the real deal? And to me, it's a no-brainer. If enough people think the same way I do, we can wipe them out. We can wipe out. We did the zero seats last time. We could zero seat reform as well. We could zero seat reform as well. And in fact, the way Farage was talking, the way Rupert was talking, he's left the door open for young Tories and, you know, people like Kenny Badenoch and stuff, maybe to come in behind him. Let's say it starts getting close. Maybe the, you know, the rump of the Tory party, now all these clowns have gone off to reform, maybe they can fall in behind Rupert. I don't know how it will work in the future. All I know is, of the options that are on the table, we have to. There's just no other choice. It's not only the best thing going in Britain today, by the way. It's the best thing going in any Western country. I noticed all the people from America were looking over. That, you know, they've got Trump. They've been saying, oh, well, we've got Trump at least. They were looking over and saying, oh, my God, they've actually got someone who's not a clown. They've actually got someone who's serious. They've actually got someone who's actually, you know, talking the same sort of talk that we want. I saw people from Germany saying the same thing. I saw people from France saying the same thing. It could be it. Because we have to break the clown populist nonsense that we've seen in the past few years. We've seen what that is. That has been exposed brutally, you know, since Trump got back in, I'm afraid. And since we've seen what reform are. I mean, to stick to Britain, reform have exposed themselves. And those of us who were skeptical from the start have never been more vindicated. And frankly, Rupert is a godsend. It's a godsend. Let's just hope it gets somewhere. If nothing else, we can keep reform out. All right. Let me know what you think in the show notes. I'll be doing more videos on Restore later in the week. I wanted to get this one out there to get the ball rolling. There's many other things to talk about, but I'll save it for later in the week. Cheers, everyone. Pick up a course. Get behind Rupert. Most importantly of all, get out.
If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the Academic Agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.